This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Every family must contribute one man to fight.
You're a war hero. You've already made many great sacrifices.
My father cannot fight, so I will take his place.
Hello, everyone. This is Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Joining me, of course, as always, Shamila Ganesan, Arvind Yuvaraj. And today it is our review episode. And we're reviewing, after having recently spoken about Tenet, we are now going to be talking about the other movie that has been much talked about for the course of this year as, when is it coming out? Is it finally coming out? And that is, of course, Mulan, the live action version.
I have to say, despite the rather lukewarm subsequent emotions I have about most of Disney's live-action adaptations, I was still very, very optimistic and excited about Mulan. I, the early trailers looked promising. I was actually glad that they decided to go in a different direction and kind of change the template a bit. Even the no songs and no Li Shang, I thought I could deal with it. I wish this was better. I really do.
It's not your favorite movie of the year.
If I'd watched one, it still wouldn't be the favorite movie of the year.
Nice. So it's so weird that we're talking about this as a review, right? Because it's when it was made, it was supposed to be like a big cinematic release. But now like half the world is watching it on their TVs. Some people are watching it on their laptops. Some people on their phones, who knows? And then the rest of us who don't have Disney Plus, we're watching it like in cinemas and stuff. So it went from being something that was supposed to be a regular cinematic thing to like a product of the times that we're in, like a product of the pandemic, in the sense that you can watch it any which way you like. I'm just going to say that the movie looks good in that sense. I'm glad that I watched it on the big screen because I think it is a big screen film. Story aside and the way it's sort of like delivered aside, it is a good looking film for a cinema experience.
Mm. I also think that to your point about it being something of a cultural artifact of the 2020 movie experience, I think it's also a cultural artifact of where we are culturally, which is to say that in terms of trying to deal with this issue of making a movie about ancient China or that centers a female hero, I think that it makes certain overcorrections or that it reaches in ways that it maybe would not have done in the less politically correct times of years past. And I'm not here to say that we should be offensive all the time for no particular reason or that, oh, this is political correctness gone mad, but I think it is. also, I don't know how much of the summary we need to give, but Mulan it's from a piece of Chinese folklore, The Ballad of Mulan. It was previously a 1998 animated movie, and now it's live action. But the story is essentially the same. It's a girl who takes her father's place in war.
Because her father's too old and frail to actually fight. I think the thing that cemented the question for me is of do these live action movies have a reason for being? Mulan for me has really, after Lion King, Mulan kind of convinced me that there is no reason for these films to exist. I still hold out a little bit of hope eternally that Little Mermaid, if it ever makes it to the screen, might be a little bit different. But I don't, like this film, I don't understand what it is that they were trying to do. It seems like all they're trying to do is make lots of money, but two, to, as you said, Lynn, to maybe atone for their perceived past mistakes, quote unquote. But let's not forget that Mulan, when it came out, was actually one of the most celebrated Disney films, animated films, for being one, extremely empowering to female characters, but two, also to actually make an attempt to represent a different culture, which at that time, really, they didn't do a very bad job of it at all.
To girls of a certain generation, 1998 Mulan is iconic.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, which is why this movie gets compared so much, and which is why there's so much of like social media outrage and, you know, people saying hashtag boycott Mulan and stuff for a bunch of different reasons, not just that. But I don't know, for me, the live action Disney stuff is on a whole other level. And I never compare it to the animated features, because I think if you do that, there's no way the live action stuff can win. One, because I watched them when I was a kid and it's a completely different environment and I watched them with a different mindset. But also, I honestly don't think you can take stories that were animated and transfer them into live action that well, unless you completely change the story and you completely change it into a whole other bracket for a whole different audience. So I think they tried to do that with this movie. They tried to go a bit grittier, a bit darker. People are complaining that The Lion King is like a frame by frame, frame for frame remake. So they tried to change it up with this. It didn't actually work that well. I don't know why they took that approach, but it just proved to me that sometimes animation is the perfect platform for some stories. And the moment you take it out and you pluck that stuff and you put it in a live action universe, it loses some of the magic. And I think Mulan is the perfect example of that.
I would also just like to add on that when it comes to... So I have a lot of issues with the script, but that aside... One other thing that you can do in an animation or in a musical is create motifs. So you might have, for example, especially when it comes to Disney, they have the message of the film is generally repeated through about four songs. You know, even if it's not explicitly in every song, you will have a callback to that earlier song. People are singing about certain things. And you get to, I understand that there are some people who can't stand musicals, but musicals get to pull up repeated motifs in a way like this that feels enjoyable or organic or that you can at least sing along to. And what happens when you take the songs away but keep the motifs is that you have people yammering on about honor and truth in a way that doesn't sound natural and isn't entertaining because you've taken away the backdrop.
There is no way, even if it's Donnie Yen, that you can have someone say with a straight face, tranquil as a forest with a fire within, and not have the person listening then parrot the song after it in their head, thus taking away the seriousness of that moment. It's no, and I just want to, I think, maybe point out what to me was the most disappointing thing about this film, and which kind of shoots the whole point of the whole story in its foot, which is the idea of a woman taking on this journey, kind of persevering through it and proving that she too can do it. So I don't think it's a huge spoiler to give away the fact that essentially the movie gives her powers. So it is a wuxia film. So it's playing with the same concepts that we talked about yesterday in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. But for whatever reason, Mulan is someone who uses qi and therefore is able to fight or and do martial arts at a level that practically no one else is.
It's a superhero origin story.
Yeah, but the problem with someone being inherently born with powers is that it means she's special in a way other girls are not. So that's not very empowering. That's not a story that, oh, every girl can do this. A Moana is a story of how every girl can do this. But this Mulan is not.
You can't be empowered by default.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And I think... So the moment that happened, I kind of got a sense of what the movie was going for. And I knew that it was not the same movie that they were trying to do from 1998, just like most of their live action stuff. And I also think that a lot of big studios get confused between being empowering and being practical and just having normal common sense. And an example of that is, again, not a spoiler, a lot of the posters, the promotional material, the trailers have shown her sort of the way she fights. And she's in this like this red robe and she's armored sort of from the hip with hair flowing all the time. And I'm thinking, I know why you're doing that. I get the symbolism behind it. You want to show the sort of, you know, she's feminine, but also she's strong. But also, that's not how people go to war. Just because you go to war doesn't mean you don't have to wear a helmet. You know what I mean?
It's just, in one literal scene, throw off your armor and then ride into battle.
And like the bad guy, Bori Khan, has equally long hair. He ties his hair. You know why? Because it just makes sense. You cannot have hair like that and go fighting. Harley Quinn showed us this in her movie, like Birds of Prey. So I think that you know, there's a lot of messaging that they want to do. There's a lot of stuff that they want to show you, like you mentioned, like, the, you know, the empowerment. They have a message that they want to tell. I honestly don't think they know how to tell it or how to deliver that message. So it's really muddled and confusing. And sometimes you're thinking to yourself, like, what are you trying to say? Like, what is this scene even for? And do you understand what your plot is?
Okay, we're reviewing Mulan. And I think that Arvind just kind of like summarized the general consensus and emotion here in the studio about that. But have you seen Mulan? Were you looking forward to it? And how do you feel about the live action Disneys as a whole? Do you want more? Are you done with them? Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Business, finance and music. BFM 89.9.
Six of our northern cities have fallen in a coordinated attack. Their leader fights alongside a witch. Crush these murderers, Your Majesty.
What is your name, soldier?
Hua Jun, Commander, son of Hua Zhou.
You will now take the oath of the warrior.
Loyal.
Brave.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin, and today we're reviewing Mulan, sadly not the 1998 animated version, which featured the iconic hair chop, but instead the long-haired Mulan 2020. And I wanted to bring up something that really bugged me, which is fundamentally the script. So I don't think that the script works in the sense that I just could not believe or get behind any of the conversations. I don't think that yesterday we spoke about Crouching Tiger and we said that those actors had chemistry with very little dialogue. And I think Mulan is the opposite, where you have people talking and sharing, you know, village stories and stuff. And I'm just like, none of you care about each other. And nobody talks like that. There is a very stilted quality to the delivery, which made me think, sadly, that this is how you think people in ancient China speak, you know, as if everyone is always speaking in aphorisms.
That's exactly it. Like, as much as Aladdin isn't anyone's favorite live-action Disney...
How dare you? Guy Ritchie is a genius.
I actually enjoyed it, I will say. I enjoyed it in a forgettable way. They speak like real people. You know, there's something about the way people speak in this Mulan that just... It looks like everyone's got a scroll in their pocket that they're going to refer to, you know, every 5 minutes. Nobody speaks this way. Nobody says honor that many times in a sentence. And because of that, you just kind of move through this film with no... So there are no songs. There are no real jokes. There are a few humorous points. People speak like they're talking from a book. There's no joy in this film. And Mulan, the animated version, ultimately, for all of its tales of empowerment... It was also joyful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like every ancient person was born with ancient wisdom, you know, and they're all just like reciting it. The language is another thing that really got distracting, because I think it's different when you watch something in 1998 and when you watch something in 2020. People have become sort of open and accustomed to watching films and TV shows in other languages. So I watch a lot of stuff on, like, let's say, streaming services. I watch The Kingdom, and it's a Korean show in Korean. No, I don't sort of like need it to be dubbed for me to understand. And that goes for any other language that's in that country's native language, right? So when watching this, it felt sort of not authentic, because they went for like the darker thing, but then it was in English. So they went for authenticity, but then everybody converses in a different language, which got, for me, it got really distracting.
Except in the background, apparently they were speaking Mandarin. I didn't realize this until, one of our colleagues pointed it out. And I was like, oh, that's really weird.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
Because I was, and people had different accents. That's the other thing.
Everyone has different accents.
Everyone has a different accent. So, like, you know, where are they from? Who are they? Why are they speaking like this? it kind of doesn't make sense. So I think that when you sort of modernize a movie, you have to modernize the language as well. Or you have to be sort of brave enough to make it in a different language or the language that is authentic to that country.
So we haven't mentioned, but it was directed by Nicky Caro. The screenplay was by Rick Jaffa, Amanda Silva, Lauren Hynek, and Elizabeth Martin. And I just wanted to read that because we have been going on about the language, and there might be some clues as to why in that list of names. So the other thing is, how did we feel about the performances? So Mulan, Hua Mulan, is Liu Yifei, who is a Chinese actress. You also, we mentioned Donnie Yen earlier with what? Tranquil
as a forest.
So we have, I think we have Jet Li, you know, in a supporting role.
Jet Li, who you may not recognize, like I didn't,
yes,
until after the film.
Yeah, me neither.
At all.
And we have Gong Li. So there are a number of big names in here.
Jason Scott Lee, who was Bori Khan. Again, someone I only realized at the end.
Who's Jason Scott Lee again?
From the old Jungle Book.
Oh.
No. I'm sorry, 90s film. But yeah, we can move on.
So how do we feel then about the performances? Let's start with Liu Yifei, because she carries the film, right? She has to. She is the title character. It's all about her. I didn't mind her performance, but I think that it really was not helped by the fact that the script was so poor that at no point could I believe her.
I agree. I think she's probably a fine actress. She looks great. She can carry the role.
Yeah. She has presence.
She does. Yeah. But the film, the script gives her nothing much to work with.
Yeah. Also, she has so much controversy going for her. It's ridiculous.
For a film about China in the current climate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Yeah. It's almost like you have to be afraid to say that you like this movie. Or like, oh, you know, am I allowed to like certain things? But I don't, like, honestly, it's a stacked cast, and you can like dissect why there's a stacked cast and who they're trying to cater to, because, you know, China is a massive market for Disney. But like you said, the script doesn't give any of them a lot to do. So they're just there to get people into the cinemas. They're just there to be on the posters. I wish they had a lot more. They had Donnie Yen. And Donnie Yen didn't have more than a couple of fight scenes. He didn't do anything in the
movie. He shadow boxed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't even get to train Mulan. I mean, would it have been too much to ask to have a training sequence?
Right. It's like, why wouldn't you utilize like any of them to do what they were meant to do or what they are famous for doing? But I guess, you know, they used Donnie Yen in Star Wars as well. They didn't give him a lot to do there either. So it's a Disney trope.
Okay. So I wanted to close off. We have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to close off with a question to you guys, which is about the live action remakes, because I've traditionally been an apologist for them. I love Disney. They're a part of my childhood. I recognize they're problematic. I brush past it. And so even though they have largely been transparent cash grabs, I've still gone to see all of them. I've enjoyed them in their own way. But I'm recognizing that I'm at a point of diminishing returns. So I didn't enjoy Lion King. Aladdin is Aladdin. And now with Mulan, I feel like I've officially reached a tipping point of, you know, even the most gullible Disney fan is kind of over it. That's where I am.
Mm. I think that, like I said, I would still potentially watch something like A Little Mermaid, maybe, assuming that they're going to try something significantly different. I think I'm over the whole frame for frame. I'm also over this course correction. I think if you're going to tell a story, you should be sincere with the story you're telling and not have a list of checkboxes that you're trying to tick to please everyone. I mean, Disney did The Last Jedi. Disney did Captain Marvel. They did Moana. They did Coco. They know that they can do this. They need to do it in a way that they're not trying to just do it because they have to.
I honestly don't mind the live action stuff. I'm not going to say I like them. Like, even after all I said about Mulan, I enjoyed it for what it was while it was on. I'm not going to think about it after that. I'm not going to watch it ever again. And I'll probably forget it by next week. But while it was on, I enjoyed it for what it was. I didn't feel like I wasted ticket money or anything. But will I go and watch all the live action movies after this? Probably not. Like, I'll be picky, but in a very selfish and self-centered way. I'm always like, my childhood was better than yours. You know, for all the kids who are watching this now, it's like I had the better Mulan, so I'm just happy that that was there.
Actually, I've just realized something as you were speaking, which is that I think my point of diminishing returns happened when they started remaking things that were released in my actual childhood. So when it was things like Cinderella, you know, I was okay. Beauty and the Beast, I was willing to kind of go along with it. But Lion King is one of my first, if not my first cinema experience. And so I think that was the... And then, you know, Aladdin was also hugely important to me as a child. And Mulan was just tremendous. So I think there is something to that. If they remade something that I felt less strongly about, this whole review might have been entirely different. A lot of this is coming from the fact that I loved the original so much.
I think it's also a question of exactly what Arvind just said. Who are these films for? Because if they're for fans of the original who grew up with these films, they're going to want some amount of nostalgia and some amount of reliving that magic, which these films are not doing. And something like Mulan, it's too adult for kids. It's not doing enough for Wuxia fans. For people who already watch Chinese cinema, this is a nothing. So really, I think, who is this film for? And that's what most of these movies seem like. Lion King, who was that for? And I think that's the problem with these live action remakes.
I think this is the angriest I've ever seen you.
I know. I didn't realize. I like Mulan a lot. And Li Shang. I like him a lot too.
What is that line again? Tranquil as a what?
Heed my every order.
That's the other thing. Mulan had great songs.
The one
that they chose not to do the songs for had really great songs. Okay, so this has been our review, such as it is, of Mulan, the 2020 live-action remake as opposed to the 1998 cartoon with Eddie Murphy. So let us know what you think. I mean, did you enjoy it more? And if you did, I would be really glad to hear it. For that matter, are you over these live-action remakes? Tomorrow, we'll be doing a whole Disney supercut, so prepare for that.
So we do love Disney.
We do. Yeah. Perhaps too much, hence the anger. WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, and you can write to us as well at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.